Certain item 612.
Portland made on the Portland Maker Movement and their visit to the White House for Makers Roundtable Connect.
Well, I'm very pleased to welcome a panel here this morning, and if you want to pull up a couple more chairs so that you can have all five of you up at once, I think they're going to be five at once. Kelly Roy from ADX and Portland Made, Katrina Scotto DiCarlo from Supportland, Joshua Lifton from Crowd Supply, and Dana Hinger and Sarah Tunstall from Spooltown are part of this movement here in Portland and had the opportunity to go to the White House and talk about what's happening in Portland, and had some conversations with them already, but really wanted the council to hear their report about both the state of the movement and where we fit nationally and what some of the opportunities and problems facing makers in Portland are. So just want to welcome you all and appreciate the chance for the council to hear your report.
Thank you. I appreciate you having us. My name is Kelly Roy. I'm the owner and founder of ADX, which is Portland's makerspace, and also of Portland Made, which is a collective of makers and manufacturers throughout the Portland region who create over 1,000 jobs and over $270 million in revenue. That's as of last year, and we have multiplied our membership by five times, so you can do the math and see the economic force that the maker movement is in Portland. This contingent here in front of you, we were invited by the White House to become part of the Makers Roundtable, which was representatives from cities around the country who are part of this movement. If you haven't heard about it, it is sweeping the nation and the world, and Portland has really exerted itself as a leader in the movement. And what has distinguished us is our very Portland approach, which is very entrepreneurial. So all of my colleagues here are entrepreneurs who own their own companies, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Katrina Scotto DiCarlo, and I'm the co-founder of Supportland.
I'm Josh Lifton. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Crowd Supply. We're a locally based crowdfunding platform for physical manufactured goods. We ship all over the world. We take projects from all over the world. Of course, we have a pretty heavy Portland and Oregon base, both customers and creators. But there's a lot of demand outside of Portland for Portland is what we're seeing.
Sarah Tunstall, co-owner of Spooltown. We're a small-run sewing factory. We make mostly bags and accessories for 80 to 100 different clients across the country and Canada.
And there's a button on the bottom of that. There you go.
And I'll push the button. I'm Dana Hinger, and I am also the co-owner of Spooltown. So we, like Sarah said, we represent 80 to 100 different clients per year. Over the years, we've probably worked with 400 or 500 different clients. So we represent a lot of small businesses outside of Portland, but ultimately we're bringing all that money into Portland.
So one of the things that we noticed when we were at the White House is that Portland really stands out for our approach to this movement. It's been very entrepreneurial, very grassroots, and the ecosystem that is here in Portland really gives us an opportunity to continue to lead that movement and provide some examples to other cities for how to support makers and manufacturers. Portland is very fortunate in that we have a long history of manufacturing from Pendleton and Janssen to Gerber Knife, Chris King, Leatherman, Bullseye Glass, The Joinery. These are all kind of founding companies that have grown to become big parts of our economy. And the groups that we are working with, the companies that we're working with are generally small startups who are just getting into manufacturing a product. So ADX provides the tools and the resources for prototyping your products. Crowd Supply gives you a platform in which to launch your product and get funding. Once you get funding and you're ready to take your product to market, you can take it to a contract manufacturer like Spooltown to produce it in small batches, which is a huge challenge. And then consumers can support the whole system through Supportland by buying local. We often hear about big tech investors and angel investors and venture capitalists, and our investors are consumers. So consumers purchasing locally made goods are what provides the success for these companies. And educating and informing consumers about these products is a critical part of Portland Made, telling their stories and getting them into the factories, showing them how the sausage is made, so to speak. But one of the big threats that we are experiencing as makers and manufacturers has to do with real estate, and we're really seeing the pressures in the Central East Side. So the Southeast Quadrant Plan is something that you all are going to have been working on and reviewing, and through our experience connecting with other cities around the country, we have a couple of case studies that we've provided to you in your handouts from San Francisco and Philadelphia on policies that can be used to protect and preserve manufacturing in the central city. These are our culture makers. These are the people who are making our city the thing that is attracting so many people here. And keeping manufacturing visible and in the heart of our city is very important to the success of these companies. So we've provided you with some of that information so that we can work together with you as you continue to develop the Southeast Quadrant Plan to give specific examples of how land use policies can be used to preserve and protect industrial land. As you know, there's a lot of pressure on the Central East Side. There's a lot of cash money, mostly from the marijuana sector, coming into the city, putting cash on the table for buildings that have traditionally been in manufacturing. That infrastructure that's there in the form of electrical, lighting, just the nature of those buildings, we've already invested a lot in that infrastructure, and it's converting that to office takes that away from the manufacturing sector. So the examples from San Francisco, they use policy to preserve manufacturing uses in new development while allowing for a creative office, but it requires that a certain amount of the buildings get preserved and protected for light industrial. So we thought that was a great example for new construction. And then Philadelphia, who also has a long history of manufacturing, has a lot of existing infrastructure, and there are some good examples there on how to preserve and protect that existing infrastructure while allowing for increased manufacturing density. So the nonprofit development companies and land trusts are things that other cities with really hot real estate markets are looking at to provide affordable real estate to makers and manufacturers.
So have you been participating in the Southeast Quadrant Plan and talking to the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability?
We have all of our members of Portland Made have been tracking the Southeast Quadrant Plan. We haven't necessarily attended all of the meetings. Like I said, we're all entrepreneurs. We're all running our own businesses. But it's something that we've been interacting with PDC quite regularly and staff. So we're trying to make sure that we provide you with the resources that we are aware of that can be used to protect manufacturing. The importance, not only with the close proximity, is just the economic contribution that these companies are making to the city. So like I said, the 1,000 jobs, these are just Portland Made members, $270 million in revenue. That money, so Portland is great for its research that it does on local economies. And I don't know, Katrina, if you want to explain the multiplier effects, but having that money stay locally in our communities is critical. And so that kind of protecting the land use for manufacturing is really important.
Very much share your goal and your concern. And I'm hoping we're going to have a robust discussion next week when we do the Southeast Quadrant Plan, because it's one thing to share the goal. It's another to have the regulations that make sure that we protect those great manufacturing jobs. Thank you very much for raising and also for providing code from elsewhere that we might be able to incorporate when we get to the council.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys want to add anything?
About this real estate issue, I can't imagine a more timely moment actually for you to be here the council discussion, because we are about to get the proposal for the Southeast Quadrant Plan. You know, we say it here all the time, but I'll repeat it. We always say that we want the Planning Commission to get something to maybe the 85th percentile. We don't expect that the City Council is just going to rubber stamp what the Planning Commission produces, and that we exercise our best judgment and make changes. And I'm frankly, I'm not sure if we've got it right in the Central East Side. So that's why this is so timely. And actually, I'm going to be in San Francisco this weekend for the U.S. Conference of Mayors, so I'm going to call on Kelly to give you some specifics to look at there. And also, I'll be spending time with our friend and colleague, the mayor of Philadelphia, as we end up working on a lot of the same issues as Philadelphia does. And so I want to look very closely at what they've done in those other cities, because our situation actually is pretty comparable. You know, a lot of times Portland is the only one. You know, we're the only one with a streetcar. Well, we used to be. We're the only one with light rail. Well, we used to be. You know, we're the only one with the urban growth boundary. That's still mostly true. But, you know, this in this case, and a lot of other cities are dealing with the same pressures, that all this tech growth is driving out indigenous manufacturing and driving up home ownership costs dramatically in other cities. So I think it's really going to be useful for us to have the kind of dialogue that you had at the White House and that we have the chance to have with other cities, and make sure that we're using the best practice we can find, whether it's our own creation or something we borrow from another city. But it's actually helpful that other cities are suffering from the same problems, because they've thought about this too. So couldn't be more timely. And I want to just signal that even though I believe the Bureau's done a good job, and even though we had a great committee from the district that's done good work, I'm not sure yet that we've got it right in terms of what we have in the plan, and that every comprehensive plan is both a plan to protect things and a plan to change things. We have places in the city that we know we want to change. We have places in the city that we'd really like to keep pretty much like they are. And the Southeast Quadrant is a little bit of both. So how do we do that? And your advice and participation, yes, you're busy entrepreneurs, but over the next weeks and months, is pretty critical, because we kind of have a 20-year shot here at getting this right or wrong. And obviously we all know which one we want.
And I would add, you reemphasize Kelly's observation that Portland really was quite different in the context of the White House Makers Roundtable. Everyone else there had an organization or a foundation or a university backing them, and really we were the only city there that was just entrepreneurs. Everyone else was talking about education, which I'm all for, of course, and STEM and STEAM, which are very interesting. We were the only ones really talking about manufacturing and business development and job creation. And I think that, you know, as you alluded to with the venture-backed tech companies, I think fairly quickly moving into town, which of course has some benefit to the city, and it's easy to see that in numbers. It's harder to see the whole ecosystem that Portland already has, the full benefit there, right? I think it's much more robust. It's not as much rolling dice, and it really brings in the type of salaries, the type of jobs, and the type of people that we want in Portland. Mm-hmm. So not to be underestimated. I just don't think it's as well represented. So that, of course, is the role of governance.
Can I ask a question? Since you were in Washington and you kind of got a sense of how our peer groups perceive us. So I sometimes think it's a well-kept secret that we make a lot of things in Portland. And we know that, you know, we make big things and small things. We make rail cars and barges and award-winning Daimler trucks, but we also make bicycle frames and cool wooden things and frames and everything in between. What do people nationally think of when they think of Portland? Do they think of us as a place that makes things?
Well, I mean, as many of you know, Portland is really hot right now. Again, another reason to capitalize on this movement and this moment in time. We're not only nationally known, but internationally known. We have flocks of Japanese tourists coming here to buy our goods. ADX has hosted over 75,000 people from around the world through our space in the last 4 years. So certainly Portland is on everyone's map, and everyone is looking to Portland. But there are other cities that have similar kind of infrastructure and movements happening, San Francisco and Philadelphia. Detroit is obviously trying to make its resurgence. But it did stand out to us that we were the only entrepreneurs at the table. Other cities had representatives from their mayor's office, from large foundations, and from large companies that were fully funding these movements, whether it was education, real estate subsidies, any number of tools that can be used to support an industry that is providing economic opportunity for, for good middle-class jobs. And I think that's a lot of what we're talking about right now as a country, is everything in the middle is missing. Not every kid is college-bound. There need to be employment opportunities for kids that take a non-traditional approach to their careers. There are similar issues that people are struggling with in workforce training because of the fact that we've moved all of our manufacturing overseas through bad trade policies. And there are issues around real estate and some of the hot real estate markets around the country. So those are the two big issues that are similarities. But what Portland, like a lot of our movements, I liken it to the early stages of our green building movement, our sustainability movement, when people were struggling with language. What is a maker? What is a maker space? What are we really talking about? So we're really trying to help develop some definitions and some common language about what it is this movement is all about, what its impact can be, and we're trying to keep Portland on the leading edge, on the bleeding edge of this, because that's what Portland does. So that's what we're really hoping the city will rally behind with us, is helping keep Portland on the top and looking to other cities for good practices on the issues that we all struggle with.
So Kelly, on that note, the city has been very intentional about wanting to be a destination for film and video. So we actually have concierge service at Portland Development Commission. We have two people whose job it is to welcome and then facilitate and expedite for film, and look at the success. We have a lot going on here in that area. In your call to action, your first proposal is an advocate in every agency. Having an advocate in every agency might be a stretch goal initially, but I've wondered why we don't have essentially concierge service for small business generally, and whether that's dedicated people at PDC or an office of business or something else. What would that mean to your sector to have a sort of a dedicated person or persons that did provide what we'll call concierge service to help small businesses start up and grow?
Yeah, and just to be clear, those calls to actions are actually an Etsy report that we included in the packet, but it is a very good and thorough report. We have been trying to serve that purpose through Portland Made, which is a self-funded endeavor. We have been attempting to work with PDC over the years to try to get some staff involvement and engagement, and they're very open to it. I think there's just some confusion about where money can be spent, how staff time can be allocated. I think it would be a huge help to have somebody who was facilitating this conversation across the ecosystem and bringing partners together. And primarily providing real estate services, real estate placement services. If there are buildings that PDC owns within our central industrial districts, helping put makers together. Shared manufacturing is the future, and so having multiple manufacturers in one location is the best use and most efficient use of resources, and also provides a community of people that can help support and leverage their success over time. So having additional staff support within the city as this movement grows, just like the green building movement, we didn't always have an office of sustainable development. So we're hoping that by continuing to work with the city and navigating through some of these issues, we would love for the city to fully embrace Portland Made as Portland's brand as we continue to export more products around the world. A cohesive brand has so much impact, and because we work with Portland State University on this annual survey that talks about job creation and economic activity, we have some real data that shows the power of the movement, and having the city rally behind that brand and help us connect makers to new markets overseas would be really valuable. So certainly staff time, resources from the city dedicated to keeping this movement elevated and keeping Portland on the cutting edge would be very helpful.
You mentioned workforce. I know, Sarah and Dana, you've struggled a little bit to find or train qualified folks. Talk a little bit about that. What, not just what the city might do, but what Benson High School is right up the street from your business.
Yeah.
So what should be happening at Benson High School, given what we want to see continue to happen in the Central East Side with businesses like yours?
Sure. Well, I think that Kelly made a great point earlier about how not every student is college bound and about how there are great entry-level jobs, you know, with some training attached to them to be had here in Portland that really have a meaningful impact. A lot of our employees are people who have gone to the Art Institute. They have degrees in fashion design, and they're a little overqualified for the positions that they have doing production sewing for us, but they're really interested in becoming involved in the industry, and it's a great way in and to get their foot in the door. So I feel like, you know, we definitely struggle finding employees. Portland never had, well, we haven't recently had a huge textile manufacturing industry, and so we don't have a lot of people who are already trained in the skills that they need to do the work that we provide. We see ourselves kind of as a training hospital, and we hire folks, train them how to do the work, and then keep them in there. But I feel like there are lots of opportunities for schools to get and for us to work with schools to train students right out of school and to move them right into positions, you know, directly out of school.
Mm. And we're going to hear a lot about, I'll steal a question from Commissioner Novick, we're going to hear a lot about transportation in the Southeast Quadrant Plan. How are most of your employees getting to work?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just yell. the majority of them bike. They bike or bus. The majority of our employees is a young base. They don't live in the outer regions. They don't live in Beaverton. They don't live in Hillsboro. They don't live in Oak Grove. They come in from local, real close-in locations,
mm-hmm.
Which then just ties, it all ties back to real estate. You know, it took us 9.5 months of looking at every building that came on the market to get into our current space on Southeast 9th. And in all honesty, we ended up in that building because of the generosity and the kind of baseline connection that the people who own the building have with our company, which is entrepreneurial grassroots. We built it. There's no VC funding. It's us, you know. So for them, they're an old school electrician company. They own a bunch of buildings in Southeast. They could identify with us. They understood like the baseline of what we were trying to build. And frankly, we can't compete with a brewery that wants to come in or a distillery with a ton of VC funding that money that's willing to spend 30 times over per square foot what we can do and what we need is an IG1 building. And that's kind of what the tech bench wants as well in terms of style. So they want to gut them and turn them into raw spaces, and we need to keep them as raw spaces. So it's a very, very tricky dance that we're doing with them.
Yeah. Moment.
But that's why location matters so much to us, is because that's our employee base, and frankly, it's our client base. You know, it used to be when we started, 80% of our clients were local, and it slowly shifted over time as we've grown, they've grown, maybe they're doing their own manufacturing. We're pulling people in from all over the U.S. and a few from Canada. We get contacted by people from all over the world, but the truth is, like, the local inner Southeast area is pretty ideal for us in terms of light manufacturing. We don't have a paint booth. We don't have anything. What we need is power and space, open space.
So. Kelly and Katrina et al., I mean, a lot of you have great websites and even better apps, and since this is a chance to showcase those before the council, can you go through how we access your apps and the websites on all the things you're doing?
Sure. So adxportland.com is our website, and I'll just speak a little bit to the workforce thing while I'm saying that, in that ADX is primarily wood, metals, and you know, some small batch manufacturing in those materials. But we're looking at applying the ADX model to other industries like fashion, so that we can do workforce training like we do at ADX. We can help designers, we can help educate designers on how to take something to production. They spend a lot of time dealing with fashion designers that don't understand how to take something through a production process. So things like that can also help with each of these industry sectors with providing space and tools and expertise around incubating new businesses and product development. Portland Made is portlandmade.com. And again, we're a collective of over 500 members, from Bullseye Glass to Plywork to Crown Lab to Spooltown to Crowd Supply and Supportland.
Yeah, so supportland.com and our mobile app, Supportland. You can join 80,000 other Portlanders in supporting local independently owned businesses. If you want to, like, really double up on your Portland Made love, you could head over to Made Here PDX, which is in Northwest Quadrant, and you can use your Supportland app or your Supportland card there. And earn some merits for purchasing a locally made good.
And we gave you all Portland made cards, Supportland cards, in your handout, so you all have them.
Great.
Let's give a shout out to Little Boxes too, because they have an app and they sell stuff that is actually manufactured in the inner Southeast. So it's another example of just the linkages.
Yeah, and a good example of, we all know how rapidly the craft brewing industry is growing nationally, but especially here locally, with the recent craft brewers conference that we had here, kind of overwhelmed the city. But ADX does production runs for brewers around the country. We do, we've become the go-to tap handle production facility for Bowie beer, Frame beer, and other brewers around the country. So that's another kind of business-to-business connection that's really important, is as one industry grows, it brings all these other industries along with it, and that kind of economic multiplier effect for Portland is huge. So it's the power of the movement, the numbers through the Portland Made Survey, I feel if we included all of the makers and manufacturers in our region, we'd probably be looking at 15,000 to 20,000 businesses. So if you take those numbers that are in there and multiply by that, you can start to see what we're talking about. And it really is important to have the space. This is very different than technology. You can start a tech company anywhere. You can start in a coffee shop. You can start in the basement of your house. But manufacturing needs space. It needs tools. And those are big investments that companies make that make us very good long-term economic stewards of the city. So we're investing a lot in the city, and it's helpful to have the security of seeing our investments pay off over the long term.
Please.
Speaking to Commissioner Fish's question about concierge service and how that exists for the film industry, and also to Dana and Sarah's comment about where their base is and how it's in Southeast, but they also serve internationally. In my role at Crowd Supply, I kind of serve as an unofficial ambassador for Portland to the outside world, in the sense that a lot of our clients, people who are making products and trying to figure out manufacturing and then trying to sell it, are often intrigued and enticed by the idea that they can get it all done in Portland, and have us manage that, and then have us ship that out to the rest of the world. And so it's a real, one of the biggest strengths there is, like I was saying before, that ecosystem. And so having Spooltown close in with, so I can ride my bike within 5 miles of my office and pretty much get anything made that could be made, right? Whether that's a prototype or a small batch or even a medium or large-sized run, is really powerful. And that's the ecosystem that I think is so invisible but so powerful. And so making that more visible is what I would ask. That would be the best thing for the city to do.
Well, I really appreciate the fact that you got this opportunity to be part of the national conversation on Portland's behalf. And I really appreciate the fact that you're part of the local conversation as well, because it isn't just talk. We really are going to make some pretty important decisions that I think are watershed decisions about whether we are able to keep and grow this sector or not. And I know you're worried about that, and we should be worried, because those market pressures are huge. But if we can surf this wave of change the right way, we might be able to get to a good place. But I think it really is going to require the council to look with great care at both our strategies in the Portland Development Commission and in our plans and policies in the comp plan. I'm going to be spending more time with the Portland Development Commission leadership on this. We're about to have a couple of new folks cycle on to the PDC, and I was suggesting to this group earlier that we might want to take them on a tour of some of these facilities in the Central East Side, because I think a lot of people simply aren't as familiar as we should be with what's going on there. And I know some of us have had a chance to do that, but I think it's good for us as policymakers and for the members of the Planning Commission and for the members of the PDC to go visit Spooltown, as I did, and see your space and how you operate. Spend some time at ADX, because it's kind of a maker wonderland as far as I'm concerned. What Kelly and her team have wrought there is pretty amazing. So I really appreciate what's going on in this movement. And again, I think the fact that you got to do this right now, just before we start to make these decisions here, couldn't be better time. So that's why I really wanted to give this group a chance to come check in with us. But I think we want to hear more from you in those critical decisions that are up ahead. So again, we know you're busy and you have businesses to run, but we're going to keep calling on you to help us try to make the right choices.
Mayor, thanks for bringing this forward, and particularly the timing of this. And I'm going to put a plug in for the ADX Lunch Wagon, which is not only a great lunch, but a chance to actually hear from makers and visiting guests. Do you still do that every Friday?
Yeah, we actually stopped doing
that. Uh-oh. Better start again.
But you can come have lunch with me anytime at ADX. I'm always there.
If you had a plug in earlier, it would still be going on.
We do have we partner with Burnside Brewing and Scrap, and we do a Making It night that's coming up. So we're always doing events at ADX to get people engaged in the maker movement. We you know, all of the great companies that we mentioned, you know, they all started out of their basements. They were all just people with ideas that they didn't have access to a place like ADX. So in some ways, we really do help accelerate that process. And we really want to encourage everyone to come and just experiment and play around. And it's a really fun place to be. And you never know, that idea that's been rolling around in your head just might have legs, and we'd love to help everyone get those ideas out and onto Crowd Supply and in the Spooltown and through Supportland.
Well, I just want to say thank you, because I've done the same circuit the mayor has, and it's very inspiring. And you know, sometimes in economic development, we spend a lot of time thinking about importing the next big thing, and we don't spend as much time nurturing the great things that are happening in our own backyard. And this is something great that's happening in our backyard. And at our peril, we will lose it.
Yeah, I think Jane Jacobs calls it economic gardening. Mm-hmm.
And in addition to Kelly and Katrina, who are two of my heroes, I would have to say Betsy and Will and all the folks in the trenches trying to make this movement sustainable are doing really great work. So thank you.
Well, please continue your leadership, and we appreciate you and honored by the fact that you got to represent Portland at the White House, and we look forward to following up more with you soon.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you very much. Work. All right. Let's move.